Welcome, friends, to Living the Adventure. I'm your radio host, George Runyon, and I'm so glad you have joined us as we study together God's Word. I hope you can join us, go on this journey with us every Sunday at 6:30 here on GOD Radio 1 as we learn how to develop our relationship with the Holy Spirit, which is a topic that we're focusing on. Be sure to invite a friend to listen each Sunday at 6:30. Thank you to all who listen and support these broadcasts in helping defray the financial costs. Your help is very much appreciated. Please drop us a note and let us know you're listening and give us your comments on the program. You can write us at CCM, that's City Church Ministries, CCM, P.O. Box 152-388, San Diego, California, 92195. Now let's pray and begin today's lesson and continuing the study, developing our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Father, in Jesus' name, we invite your holy presence. We can do nothing without you. Without you, we would fail. We need the Holy Spirit to come and to enlighten us and to guide us and to direct us and to establish us in the kingdom of God. And so we say, come, Holy Spirit, tonight as we study your word. We ask you to bring illumination and understanding to our minds and to our heart by your presence. And so I thank you, Lord. Our dependence is upon you. We thank you that you've come, sent by the Father and the Son to bring new life forth in us. We give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, beloved. Here we are. We're going to talk about hanging with the prophets. Now, last week we studied about the Holy Spirit is calling, and we mentioned that he's calling many today. He has come to rest upon believers and anoint them as he did with God's holy begotten Son, only begotten Son. Jesus could stand and declare, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," in Luke 4:18, because he had chosen to submit to his Father's desires as he lived a human life. Only a few are willing to go through the disciplines it will require to live that life here on earth under the anointing and the call of the Holy Spirit. God is looking for those willing sons and daughters who will say, "Here I am, send me." Inquire of the Lord what he might say to you regarding his call and anointing on your life. Will you be part of that few that will allow the Holy Spirit to open up their understandings and use them in declaring the gospel in their everyday life? And that's where we ended last week. And now this evening, we're going to talk about hanging with the prophets. And we find this over in 1 Samuel 10:10, and it's a story about Saul. The Spirit of God came upon him mightily so that he prophesied among them. And so as Samuel anointed Saul, the spirit of prophecy came upon Saul. Saul was sent by his father to find some donkeys. Saul sought to find the prophet Saul to see if he could help in finding the donkeys. Instead, Saul encountered the word of the Lord spoken through Samuel. Samuel told Saul that he had been chosen to rule over God's people. As Saul left Samuel, he met a group of prophets who were prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul mightily, and he prophesied with them. Saul was changed into another man, the scripture says. Revelation 19:10 states, "The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Prophecy is directly related to testifying of God's will and purposes. Samuel prophesied God's will regarding Saul. When Saul got close to the prophets, he too prophesied and was counted among the prophets. All the scriptures point to Jesus as God's one and only King. When we declare the Lordship of Christ, we are prophesying. God wants all his people to have the spirit of prophecy. Listen to Moses. Moses declared when the Spirit of God came on the 70 elders, and two of them were outside the camp, and so Joshua was raising that point, and Moses' response in Numbers 11:29, he said, "I would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit upon them." Numbers 11:29. Paul taught that we can all prophesy in 1 Corinthians 14:31. There it says, a prophet is a spokesperson for God. We are all called to be led by the Spirit to speak for God. The scriptures are abundantly clear of how God has willed for his sons and daughters to be filled with the Holy Spirit and be his voice to a lost and dying world. In summary, Jesus said this, Revelation 19:10, you can all prophesy one by one, 1 Corinthians 14:31. So I'm not confusing you here. Revelation declares that prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. Revelation 19:10. You can all prophesy one by one, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:31. He's talking about within the church gathering. Everybody can bring a word, a prophecy, one by one. There's an order to it. And Paul recommends that it's limited to two or three, and let the others that are prophets judge the word that is brought. If you go back and study that in 1 Corinthians 14, it says, all may prophesy, that all may learn, that all may be edified. So what a tremendous gift that God has released to the body of Christ, the spirit of prophecy. And we have misused it and abused it so much today. That's another subject for another time. Now, let me encourage you to spend time in the presence of God, asking him for the spirit of prophecy. It is one of the gifts of the Spirit God desires for all his people to embrace and use to testify of Jesus and his will. The gift is not motivated by emotions or individual opinions. The Father desires for his people to be able to hear his voice and to testify of all he has given through his Son. And so here's a prayer we can pray. Father, fill me with the Holy Spirit and cause me to speak with a prophetic voice of the Lordship of Jesus Christ for your glory. Now let's look at being lifted up by the Spirit of God. Ezekiel 11:24 gives us this picture. The Spirit lifted me up, Ezekiel said. Ezekiel was a prophet of the Lord with many experiences in the Spirit of God. The Spirit of the Lord led him to act out much of what he saw and heard. So he acted it out. He didn't just speak it. The Holy Spirit is still lifting up men and women dedicated to doing God's bidding. Testimonies are received from around the world of visions and dreams God's people are having. Testimonies of healings and miracles are becoming commonplace throughout the body of Christ. If you keep up with these things, if you know what God is doing in the earth today, these are testimonies that are happening throughout the body of Christ. The Lord is speaking to his people through unusual events and experiences. As in Ezekiel's time, the Lord wants to draw near to his people. He wants to lift his people into realms of the Spirit and show them how to accomplish his work. The Spirit of the Lord does not bring revelation that is contrary to God's written word. Let me make that clear. There is no new revelation coming. It is all has to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. So the prophetic is proclaiming God's Word by the quickening of the Spirit of God. I want you to understand that. It's not bringing a new revelation, a new doctrine, or anything like that. The apostles gave us what we needed. We need to study the New Testament and understand the will of God that was laid out through the apostles of the Lamb, as I call them, those given to Jesus by the Father. He wants to lift his people into realms of the Spirit and show them how to accomplish his work. The Spirit of the Lord does not bring revelation that is contrary to God's written word, as I just said, but confirms the word of God by supernatural means. The writer of Hebrews addresses this issue when he asks the question, how will we escape if we neglect so great salvation? After it was at first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard Jesus. God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders, and by various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. Hebrews 2 and verse 3. The Holy Spirit breathes life on the Word of God. Many try to use the Word without the life-giving power of the Spirit and are left with legalism and death. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3:6, who also made us adequate as servants, legal of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So when God's breath gives the Word of God, there's life. But when we speak it just simply out of our own intellect, many times it becomes legalistic and it brings death. That's what we're understanding from Paul. Some important questions to be considered are these. Is there life in the Word you carry for God? Has the Spirit of God lifted you into places of fellowship and revelation to hear what the Spirit would say to you? Do you minister out of your head knowledge or by the Spirit of God quickening you with a message and deeds that produce life in the ones to whom you are ministering? Take time to seek the Holy Spirit and ask him to release his life in and through you. Prepare to allow the Holy Spirit to do unusual things through you. Expect him to confirm the Word of God that you speak to others with his signs and wonders according to his will. I'm just going to give you a quick example that's fresh to me. Some years ago, back in the 90s, I traveled through Africa, and I was ministering in Zimbabwe, and apparently prophesied over a young man there, and spoke a word to him. And he looked me up and found me and said to me all these many years later, he wanted me to know that the word of God that I spoke to him came to pass exactly the way it was stated to him. And that was so encouraging, because a lot of times you don't get the report. But here he took the time to try to find me and communicate with me to encourage me to know that the word that I gave him was a living word and that God did exactly what was said. That was so encouraging to read that. It was encouraging to see the work of God in this man's life. And he's continuing to press in. He's now pastoring and looking to God for more of what God has for him in his own country of Zimbabwe, there in that area of the world. What a tremendous thing. I think he lives in Harare, which is the capital of Zimbabwe. But he has a heart for his people, and God has raised him up and is using him in these days. So I just rejoice in God that sometimes he brings these things back and you get the reports of what God has done in somebody's life because you heard the word of the Lord and spoke it to them and helped them in their journey. And so, Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be free to speak words to me that are filled with your life. I pray that I may hear your voice guiding me and that you would confirm your word through me with your life-giving power. Protect me and others from the letter of the law, which kills, and fill me with knowledge of your Holy Spirit. That's a good prayer to pray, beloved. And so I'm praying that right now, and I pray that in my life. I'm encouraging you to pray that, to ask the Lord to help you, to be filled with his Spirit, to be carrying a life-giving word to share to others. And the Spirit of God will then quicken other people and whatever the need might be. And so these are wonderful areas that we must get disciplined in, learning how to wait on God so that his Spirit can have control in our life. Now let's talk a little bit about letting the Spirit reign in our heart. 1 Samuel 16:14. Again, we'll go back to Samuel. Now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord terrorized him. This is a difficult passage in that it conveys that the thought that both the Spirit of the Lord and an evil spirit were sent from the Lord to Saul. God put his Spirit on Saul when he was anointed as king of Israel. Saul even prophesied, as we saw, when he was among the prophets. Saul turned from the Lord's commands to his own plans, during his reign. His heart became cold and selfish. The Lord withdrew the spirit because Saul chose to do evil before the Lord. Afterwards, the Lord sent an evil spirit to terrorize Saul. You see, Saul had been opened up to the realm of the spirit, to the spirit of God coming upon him and working in and through him. But he hardened his heart against the Lord. Saul did that. And in that, God removed his spirit from Saul, the anointing that he had given him. And God was preparing the way for David, the next one that God would put in as king over Israel. And the spirit of the Lord was upon David as well. But when Saul rejected God's governance through the prophet Samuel, and God then took his spirit off of Saul, and an evil spirit took its place and tormented Saul. Beloved, we're talking about spiritual realms. Now, you can argue with these things. We're just talking about what the Bible says. And it's difficult to understand. But I want us to understand that when we have been touched by the Spirit of the Lord and we reject God's work in our life and turn our hearts away from God, it's an open door for the enemy to be able to come in and take control of our lives. And so many times, people that have come to the Lord and the Spirit of God was working in them, but they rejected the Lord's work in their life through various ways, that it opens the door for the enemy to begin to come in and take control. And that's what happened in Saul's life. We some of these things are difficult to understand. We just have to look at the Word and believe the Word of God and know that these things operate. We're talking about the spirit realm here when we're talking about letting the Spirit reign in your heart. We're not talking about the intellect. We're not talking about soulishness. We're talking about our will, letting the Spirit of God have rule in our heart and in our life. And so that's our focus here. And we have to work through the difficulty of some of these things in understanding. The God of heaven is in control, both the good and the evil. Satan and his kingdom of darkness have restrictions placed on them by the Lord. They are confined to the earth in their ability to have influence. As believers, we wrestle against these powers, Ephesians 6:12 tells us. Satan and the kingdom of darkness have already been judged by Jesus, according to John 16:11, when Jesus told his disciples that the ruler of this world has been judged. Many Christians are still in bondage to the kingdom of darkness because their hearts have not been fully cleansed and released. 1 John 1:5 through 10 gives us that picture. The Spirit of God comes to convince of sin and righteousness and judgment. John 16:8, he also comes to produce righteousness in our lives. John 16:10, it would be worthy to study those scriptures. John 16, the chapter 16 of John, the Gospel of John. Look those over and study them out for yourself. Many of God's people battle continually with evil spirits because they refuse to allow the Holy Spirit complete control in their lives. You see, coming to Jesus doesn't make everything automatic. We have a part to play. We have to take a stand. We have to give ourselves to the Word of God. We have to say no to the lies of the enemy. We have to stand in the righteousness of God and in His power. God doesn't call us to do this alone. He has supplied the Holy Spirit to give us the power to walk through even the troublesome attacks of the enemy. So many of God's people, as I said, continue to battle with evil spirits because they refuse to allow the Holy Spirit complete control of their lives. If there's an area that you're having struggles with, examine your heart. Have you given that over to the Lord? Does He have complete control in that area? That's a good way to measure what's going on. They remain king of their own circumstances. Many times people, they say, Jesus, come into my heart, and they limit it to forgiveness of sin so that they can go to heaven someday. No, Jesus, the thing that Jesus wants to do is take control of our life now. It'll be automatic. He'll be He'll automatically be in control when you cross over, when you're in heaven. He wants you to give him rights now on earth. This is what we're walking through, beloved. Each one of us are learning how to allow the Lord to have complete control in our lives. None of us are escaped this. It's a battle that we're engaged in. Complete control in our lives by the Holy Spirit. And so we don't want to remain king of our own circumstances. Repent and let that go. If you're trying to control your circumstances, allow the Holy Spirit and his rightful place to rule in your heart. Unforgiveness is one of Christ is one of those places that the enemy tries to rule. Jesus addresses this in the parable of the unforgiving servant in Matthew 18:21-35. That's another good passage to study over. The king was angry that the servant he had forgiven failed to forgive a fellow servant a much smaller debt. The king turned over the unforgiving servant to the tormentors in jail until the debt was fully paid. Jesus has some hard words about that in Matthew 18:35. He says, "My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from the heart. The tormentors are evil spirits. The debt can only be paid through forgiveness from the heart." If there's somebody that you have ought against, you must come to God and ask God to help you forgive that person. Let that person go. Let that debt be paid. And do not carry it, because it hinders the work of the Spirit in your life. And you'll find yourself battling the evil spirits all the time. And so many people that we minister to and we counsel with, their big battle is unforgiveness. They haven't forgiven even parents going back into their early life, where a father didn't do right or a mother didn't do right, and that child still has resentment against their parents. We found that deliverance comes when we are able to find where that unforgiveness is in the heart, and when the individual is willing to let that go, the enemy has to leave. He has to let go. He can't keep that person in prison and torment them. So many people are tormented because of unforgiveness. Oh, this is such an important area to get a hold of, beloved. So today, ask the Holy Spirit to search your heart and reveal to you any unforgiveness that would give Satan his demonic tormentors rights in your life. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you a heart of forgiveness for everyone who has hurt you. Ask God for grace to forgive anyone he shows you. Then bind the evil one and be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God has come to fully establish God's kingdom reign through the Lord Jesus Christ in each one of our hearts today and every day. Let me wrap this up by saying that one of the big problems we have in the church is unforgiveness. On a personal level, yes, but on a denominational movement level. Many people were hurt coming out of a religious organization, and they still have that bitterness in their heart. And there are denominations that resist other denominations. They haven't forgiven things that were done many, many, many years ago through others in the denominations. Beloved, God is dealing with his church today. We have to be a forgiving people, just like the Lord Jesus Christ. His forgiveness needs to be replicated in our lives. And it's one of the burdens of my heart. And years ago, God instructed me to come from the East County where I lived down to Southeast San Diego and begin to relate with pastors in the Southeast San Diego area. And what he said, I want you to go and just be a servant. Just go there and learn and go there and help. Help men get freed up. And I began to see some things, and the Lord opened the door for me to be able to begin to share with pastors in those days. This is in the early 2000. And I began to see how that many men that were pastoring had never been really truly fathered themselves. They had been ordained in clergy, had been set into a function, but they had never been fathered. They were taught a particular persuasion, and what I experienced was a lot of resentment and hatred toward other races. And beloved, that's got to get settled because Jesus settled it. In Jesus, there is no Jew. There is no Gentile. There is no bond, no free. In Jesus, there is no male nor female. And whatever has hurt us, whatever unforgiveness we carry in our heart, we've got to let it go. Or otherwise, the Holy Spirit will not have full possession of us. And many are hindered because of unforgiveness. I should take probably time to illuminate that in a greater way. Forgiveness is the key. Unforgiveness is the key to allowing the enemy to have control in our life. So examine your heart. Is there any unforgiveness toward a spouse, toward a family member, or towards somebody that maybe is of another race and they've said things that hurt you? Is there any unforgiveness? It needs to be dealt with if you want to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. I trust you can receive this word today. Father, help us in Jesus' name. You know our weaknesses and when we get hurt, how we hold on to resentment. God, deliver us. Lord, help your people. Cause us to be a people that are able to be filled with the Holy Spirit and guided and led by the Holy Spirit and not by an evil spirit in any way. We rebuke the torment of the enemy, and we open our hearts and we say, Father, fill us afresh and anew with the Holy Spirit. I thank you for the loved ones that are tuned in tonight, and I ask you to bless them in Jesus' wonderful name. And so, folks, thanks for being with us this evening. Be sure to come and join us again next week as we continue this subject of our devotion and being filled with the Holy Spirit and learning how to move in His power. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Make sure you walk with the King. Amen.